Good evening, brothers and sisters. God bless you. You may be seated. And this evening, we're going to be taking full advantage of the time, and we're going to reflect upon the word of the Lord. And we're going to be remembering what God teaches us in the Bible and what God has taught from the very beginning to mankind. He taught his people, and in antiquity, it was the people of Israel, and today he teaches us. And the Lord gives us his teachings, his commandments, and we need to always remember them. And this is why we need to be reading the Bible constantly. We need to read the Bible to learn so that we never forget what God wants us to do so that we are able to please him. So we always ought to read the Bible and set aside time to read the Bible. We must read the Bible from beginning to end. It is important to read Genesis. It is important to read Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Kings, Chronicles, Judges, Joshua, Samuel. That's important. Because there we find all of the Lord's commandments. The word of God is there, what God had ordered the people of Israel and what he orders us today as well. Things that we should do and keep, and we should not let ourselves be contaminated, our spiritual lives be contaminated by what the world has made up. The world has made up so many things. Mankind has made up so many things. And we innocently, or maybe perhaps ignorantly, we fall into the trap. We make the mistake of falling in those traps that the devil sets continuously with the different fashion trends, with technology, with science, with everything that each day is being made up by human beings. There, the devil is setting many traps for our spiritual life, so that we live stagnant and we are not able to grow and prosper and progress spiritually. And sometimes we ask ourselves, well, why is there spiritual stagnation? Why is it that God is not manifesting in our personal life? And that is what we would like, for God to manifest in our lives, or for God to hear our prayers quickly, and that what we ask him in prayer and what we desire is for God to quickly fulfill, answer, and reply. And then we see God doesn't do it. But it's because we are not living uprightly before the Lord. We are contaminating ourselves with the world, with vanity, with different beliefs, with different customs and traditions. With all of that, we are distracted and entertained by all of those things. And this is why God does not bless us. He doesn't guide us or speak to us. This is why God is not with us, giving us revelations and what it is we desire and fulfilling our petitions and our desires, because we are distracted by other things. And as we don't read the Bible, well, then we forget what God has said. So today we're going to go over a brief summary. It's a recap of what God wants. And we're going today, taking advantage of this time, to read. And especially in these times that, you know, around this time, there are certain celebrations, there are certain holidays that come around. And the saddest part is that we see that people say, or the majority of people say, well, I'm Christian. But were we ever worried about knowing what it is God wanted that we do when we were a part of said so religion? No, we never did. And that's how people are. As we never worried about knowing what are the regulations or commandments for a Christian. What does God want Christians to do? Since we never worried about that, well, people don't worry about it either. And this is why we find that people make up different holidays and celebrations. And the saddest part is that they celebrate the devil. And do you know what the celebration of the devil is? The adults know. What about children? Well, when October 31st comes around, people say it's a celebration to the devil. And it is a celebration to the devil. All those who are part of satanic cults, that day they are prepared to celebrate and to offer sacrifices to the devil. They offer sacrifices to the devil, and they have a great celebration to honor him. And how sad it is that the people who do not belong to a satanic cult, they're also participating in that celebration, and they participate with children. And children, since they are innocent and they ignore many things, they let themselves be amazed by food or a toy or candy or a costume. But behind all of that, the devil is working to impoverish spiritual lives, the life or the spiritual life of an adult and a child, to ruin people's happiness and peace. And along the way, you also displease God. So, people, they are so-called Christians, right? Outside in the world, you ask people, well, I'm Christian, I'm Catholic. And you find them dressed as a devil. They're dressed as a witch, right? Dressed as a bat. Spiders. All of those animals that are used in the satanic cult. In that satanic cult, they use all of those animals to offer their sacrifices in honor of the devil. They use spider webs, spiders, bats, and they carry out their satanic cult with all of those beings, like owls, serpents. They also use black cats. They sacrifice them. They sacrifice babies. On that day, it is so dangerous because in many countries and different places, they steal newborn babies. They steal the newborn babies and they sacrifice them to offer their blood to the devil. All of that is done by those in satanic cults. All of this I know about because we have had the opportunity to speak to some people and they've explained to us everything that they do. And it is so sad, brothers and sisters. It is so sad that behind all of that celebration, everything that actually exists, all the deaths, the kidnappings of children, and the sacrifices that are made of people. People are sacrificed to render honor to the devil on the 31st of October, Halloween. So all of that we ought to be knowledgeable of. But also, we must be knowledgeable of God's word so that we, the adults, we should not believe nor practice those things, and children, they should be taught. Children, as they are young in age, you should teach them that this is wrong and God is not pleased with that. We must teach children. And it is very sad, everything I said. And like I said, there are Christians who go off and also honor the devil with that. So really, we don't know what kind of Christian they truly are. And that is sad. Let us open our Bibles. In Deuteronomy chapter 4:19, God spoke to Moses on Mount Horeb, and God, he gave him the laws. He gave them to Moses, and he told Moses to write in a book everything God was going to tell him, that he should write it in a book. For this would then be used for all generations, forever, even for us today. And so that was left written for us as well today. And it reads in verse 15, "Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire." Now there was a day in which Moses was on Mount Sinai, 40 days and 40 nights. He spoke to God and God gave him the entire law and he wrote it down. Now here in Deuteronomy, he is repeating to the people of Israel. He once again goes over the laws and retells them the experience that he lived with God and what God had commanded that they do and keep. And It says in verse 16 that God told them, well, in verse 15, it says that the Lord, he said that the day that you, that he manifested himself when Moses was on Mount Sinai and God gave him the laws and he spoke to Moses and Moses heard the voice of God. And it said that Moses would only see the back of the Lord. He couldn't see his face. He could see his back. But they were talking together. So they were close by. So this is when Moses said, I am speaking to God face to face. But it wasn't that it was actually face to face, but rather that he saw the Lord's back. And God spoke to him and he said, tell the people of Israel that you saw no form. No form for you to later go and justify yourselves in saying, well, since we saw God, we saw his image and form, we saw how his face was and how his eyes were and his nose and his mouth, so I'm going to make a statue to then say that this is how God is and this is how he was, and that's why he said, no one saw my form, so no one can go and say they're going to create an image or a statue to then say it is God. So God clarifies. He says, you saw no form in verse 15. When the Lord spoke to you at Oreb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image. Continue, please. So you see, this here completely forbids human beings. In that time, the people of Israel, it was forbidden for them to create carved images or any sculpture of any image in the likeness of a male or female. It was forbidden. No one could do that and then say, it is God. Look at God. He is God. It was forbidden. And it is so clear. And if people would only read the Bible, then their eyes would be opened and they would understand and comprehend that everything that we call an image, a statue, a painting, that all of that which is in the image of God, that is a sin and abomination to God. And in verse 17, it says, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. It says, and take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun, and please read verse 19. So God here is very clear. God has been very clear in his teaching. But how sad it is that people don't read the Bible. Since people, and in the past, it was forbidden to read the Bible. But now, as the Bible is now allowed to be read, people are now lazy. But very clearly, God taught that they should not worship the moon, sun, and the stars. And have you heard of people in a certain place who worship the sun, the moon, and the stars? They worship mountains and rivers. Have you heard of that? Yes. Well, if we maybe don't even travel too far, there are indigenous tribes. And history is that the indigenous tribes, they were idolaters because they worshiped the sun, moon, and the stars. But it was not just those indigenous tribes, though. It's mankind, all of mankind. They started to worship all of these beings, all of these elements. Mankind began to worship them. And when God created the people of Israel, there was already idolatry. It was already in function. And paganism and the devil had already taught people who were rebellious and foolish, who didn't want to love God. The devil taught them in their hearts to sin. He taught them how to be idolaters. And he taught them to do things that are abominable before God in order to anger God so that you go against God's will. And here, God is speaking very clearly. And those traditions are carried even to this day to many countries. Now, principally in Latin America. Mainly in Latin America, but also in parts of Africa, in parts of Asia, in parts of Japan and China. We see that they worship the dragon in those areas. Those who have traveled, those who have studied history, they know that out in those places, they worship the dragon, they worship statues with different names. They have a lot of different customs, thousands of customs and traditions, and different beverages and foods, and people offer sacrifices to their gods. They have different beliefs. They believe in charms. They believe in a lot of superstitions. They have so many different customs out in those places, in those areas. And if we look at Latin America, well, there's also this belief that people have, and they have their own customs, and they worship the sun, moon, and the stars. They worship lagoons and animals, and they have serpents made up of different materials of wood, of stone, or even made out of precious stones, and they are gods. They have frogs. They have different charms and also superstitions. And in all of those beliefs and in all of these different charms that they believe in, all given to witchcraft and completely devoted to sorcery and spiritism, do you think that a person who does all of those things, can they call themselves a Christian? No, that is not Christianity. That's paganism. Paganism is when religion is disguised. When they disguise religion, they disguise it by saying, okay, I'm Christian, but here behind in my privacy, I'm actually a witch, I'm a sorcerer, I'm pagan, I'm an idolater, I work in this, creating statues and idols made out of men and animals and women, and I worship and I believe in all of these different saints and men and women who were called saints, and I believe in these animals and these different charms with these different colors and foods and preparing special foods to worship a certain saint. And if we go and look back at all of the customs in Latin America, every country has a different custom and a pagan tradition. Now, when I say pagan, it's that. It's a disguise of religion. It's a disguise of people saying they are Christian and they believe in God, but they are worshiping the devil. They are worshiping the devil in the midst of all of the idolatry, customs and traditions and foods and beverages and religious celebrations. And so that is what the world has devoted themselves to. The world has devoted themselves to all of that. And this is why God is so angry with the world. And God becomes angry with mankind. And this is why God, who has chosen us, who has called and brought us, he wants us to go out and work. That we learn and read the Bible, and that we learn to go out and preach and teach people. And to bring people out of ignorance so that they are saved. For otherwise, everyone will be condemned to perdition. And there are people who say, well, hell doesn't exist and heaven doesn't exist. It's all a lie. And, you know, life after death doesn't exist. But it does exist. It exists. And if in this life we do not protect our spiritual life, we will lose our salvation. We will lose eternal life. But thanks be to the Lord that we are steadfast and we are here believing in the Lord. And we are waiting for God to clothe us with his power, to support us and help us so that we are able to go and to speak to people and free them from that ignorance. But in no moment should we ever become pagan or hypocrites. That I do one thing, I read the Bible, and then I say I'm a son or daughter of God, and God speaks to me, makes me promises, but then I go out and I do everything that is evil and wrong, and I do what the world does. That displeases God. That displeases the Lord. Let us read here a little in 2 Kings 17:16. 2 Kings. But first, I'm going to read actually starting from verse number 8 in 2 Kings chapter 17. Are you ready, brothers and sisters? And we're here now in the kings of Israel. And the people of Israel were taken captive because God punished the Israelites for they were doing evil things before the Lord. Now, as they were doing evil things before God, God punished them and delivered them over to the king of the Assyrians. And it says here in verse 7, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods." So they worshipped other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. So the kings of Israel, they did evil before the Lord, and the other neighboring nations around Israel were idolaters. And the people of Israel began to do the same things that they did. They started to do what others were doing, which is what we're talking about today. And why is it that everyone celebrates Halloween? Well, because since everyone celebrates it, and you see it in the media, and you see it from there on out in all of the retail stores, and they have advertisements and commercials. And so psychologically, they put this into people's minds, and people are contaminated, and they start to believe and to do the same things. And they offend God. But very well, since people out in the world, they don't have God because they have no fear of God nor love Him, so they truly don't care about these things. And so it's still very sad that you displease God in that way. So it says the kings of Israel, they had become defiled with all the sins and idolatry of other nations. And this is why in verse number 9, "Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities." So there were places where they would build monuments. And in certain places, there are pyramids. In Egypt, there are pyramids. There are pyramids in Mexico. I don't know where else you'll find these pyramids, which is an elevation of rocks. And they were built by people in the past. Those were those high places that people in antiquity would build. And at the very top, they would set their God, and they would worship that God. They would worship and praise it and offer sacrifices. And the sacrifices were of animals, food, grains, fruits, vegetables, and prepared food as well. They would form cakes. Now, maybe there is a different term for it in other places, but there's a special type of cake that is eaten at a wedding. It's a cake, right? Now, in other places, perhaps maybe there are other names for it. And those cakes people would make out of raisins or some of the most exotic fruits with flour. So that is what they would make those cakes out of. So we all know them as cakes. That's the term that we use. Cakes are desserts. And they would cook all of those things. It was cooked in the fire, and they would also have sacrificed animals, and they would place fruits and vegetables, and they would place them, present them before their gods. They would carry out their sacrifices and bring them to their gods because they thought that their gods would get hungry and would get thirsty, so they had to eat. And it wasn't just that with gods, but they would also worship the dead. They would also worship the dead, and they would worship demons. They would call upon demons and worship them and also offer many presents and gifts and to the dead. And I know that in some countries, and I don't know if in Africa and Asia, I don't know about that there, but I know in Latin America, in certain countries, they celebrate the dead. And they go to the cemetery and they bring food to the dead. They bring food and beverages, drinks. All of that is paganism. All of that is paganism that contaminates, defiles the spiritual life, and separates men and women from God. It places a barrier in the middle. And God is far, far from these people, far from these people who celebrate such things. And so, if we recap everything that we've heard from different countries of all of the things that they do, well, we would never finish, but very quickly we'll summarize. And I said to you before that they would build high places, and we're in verse number 9. And it says, also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. Verse 10. So they set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images. Now that wooden image was of a demon, and they had given the name to that demon Asherah, and they created a physical statue of wood or marble, whatever materials that they would use. They created that statue of Asherah. And so the demon that was there was happy and working miracles for them, for those who believed in her, in that statue. They believed in her, so the demons, the devil, was ready there to work the miracle so that people would continue to believe in the statue, in the idol. Because the devil is there, ready. Now, if you give credibility that these flowers work miracles, then the devil is there, and he knows your thoughts, he knows your intentions, and says, oh, this person believes that these flowers will work miracles, so I'll work the miracle so that they continue to believe in these flowers. That is what the devil does. He's always done things this way. He was attentive to people who were idolaters, and making sure what statue they were believing in, what demon did they believe in, what dead person did they believe in, so that he could work miracles and make himself be noticed, so that people could say, yes, this is all true. Let's follow these gods because these gods are powerful. And so people continue on in this way. And it's the same today. People today go to a spiritist, a fortune teller, a sorcerer, a witch, and they say, I'm going to take my daughter there because she's sick and hopefully the sorcerer can fix her. And they say, oh, she's got witchcraft. Give me a certain amount of money and I'll free her from that. Well, a demon removes another demon. A superior demon removes an inferior demon of inferior category. So when he removes the demon, the person apparently seems healthy, fine. And they say, oh, you see, this person does have power. I'm going to keep going there. I'll keep going to that sorcerer. I'll keep going to this witch. Look at the miracles they've worked. And they go and they share that with people. And they say, go over there. Those people work miracles. Look, they healed my daughter. But as it turns out, the person who seemed healed will be healed for a certain time, but then get sick again because the devil, it's not convenient for him to see people happy and healthy. He wants to see them suffering. And so the devil, he worked in that way in that time, and he does the same things today. And this is why we see so many people are idolaters, so many people who are pagan, so many people who practice witchcraft and sorcery and spiritism, because the devil does many things. So people continue to believe in those things, in good luck charms and those beliefs, and they turn away from God because the devil wants to turn people away from God. He wants to separate them from God. The devil does not want men or women to praise God, to love God. The devil does not like that. He's jealous and envious. And this is the battle. This is the fight. This is why the devil imitates God's work imitates what God does to deceive people so that people are deceived and they say, well, I don't know what path to take. I don't know if this one or that one. For I see that this one is moving and that one is moving, so which one should I choose? That is what the devil does. This is why we need to read the Bible. We need to learn the Bible and be sincere with God and love Him so that God may teach and guide us, may lead us, may give us power, power over all of those diabolical forces, and to teach our people, our families, our neighbors, teach them all to come out of all of that ignorance and to no longer be a part of those beliefs, all of those things that displease God. And this is why people will continue to be ill, live in tribulation, live in misery, live unhappy, in misfortune. That's how people will live, because they have turned away from God. But it's all because of these things, all of this idolatry. And so in verse number 11, the Lord tells them, what did they do? Well, there they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. Please read verse 12. You see, it said that they would serve idols, which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Verse 15. And they rejected his statutes, God's statutes, and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies, which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served Baal. And so the host of heaven is the sun, moon, and the stars. And again, and served Baal. So here, this was a god. There were many gods. And now, after Christianity arrived, after our Lord Jesus Christ, because all of this was among in the people of Israel in the time of antiquity, but after our Lord Jesus Christ came and preached his gospel and sent his apostles and disciples to preach the gospel, and the gospel of our Lord has now been preached for over 2,000 years now, what has happened? Well, all of these idols, they changed their names. All of the gods of the Romans, all of the gods of the Greeks, and all of the gods in every city and nation, there was a different god. And in Ephesus, they would worship Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And in every city, it was a different god. But when they went to go and evangelize all of those cities, to evangelize and speak to them of the gospel and talk to them about a living God in spirit and truth, many believed, many converted to the gospel of Christ. But there were also many who were greedy and hypocritical and false and never truly converted wholeheartedly to God. And so those people began to do business with God's word, with the gospel. And as they started to do business and to deceive people with the gospel, there is where that pagan Christianity came from. It's pagan Christianity. Pagan Christianity came or started in that second century after Jesus Christ. There is where people began to change the names of their gods. So it was no longer the god known as Baal or the goddess known as Ashtaroth, but now it was Saint John or Saint Teresa or John the Baptist, because John the Baptist, they created statues and images of him and paintings. And Moses, they also created an image and a statue and paintings of him. So all of those apostles, people started to create images and statues and paintings of them, knowing that God had forbidden that they should not create any images of God or of anyone, that they should not follow after them to praise them. because all of that was offensive to God. But that was not the case, and that's when paganism started in the 2nd century, approximately. So they changed the names of all of those gods and mythology, and they gave it the names of Christians, Christian men and women. And so this is when we see these saints that start to be mentioned, Saint Catalina, Saint Teresa, Saint Joseph, Saint Germain. I'm sure you've heard of all of these different saints. And the statues, the images and paintings, and religious celebrations. So paganism continues, but it is now a religious paganism centered around Christianity. And how could God not become angered with people and mankind? And so continuously on, the centuries have passed, and they continue to pass, and people, mankind, multiplies itself, and people begin to then worship and continue to worship the dead. They continue to worship demons. They continue to offer sacrifices to the dead, sacrifices to demons. And we hear about stories in those towns in antiquity. We hear that in antiquity, virgins were sacrificed to gods for the statues. And the demons and the dead, they would sacrifice virgins to them. They would cast them into lakes to be drowned, or they would burn them in fire. That's what they did. All of that is throughout history. And today, well, now it's a relic to hear those stories. But no, brothers and sisters, maybe today we don't hear about people being sacrificed to saints and gods, but they still are carrying out these religious celebrations like Halloween and other things that are mentioned. And I would like for you to then participate and share with me, because I know that we have brothers and sisters from different countries, not from Colombia, but maybe in Central America and South America. If you could maybe share the celebrations in your towns and the beliefs that they have. And so God does not want us to defile ourselves. God is displeased. And so maybe you say, well, out of curiosity, I'm going to dress as a witch. Well, that curiosity is going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You know why? Because the devil is watching and he says, oh, this person dressed up as a witch. This person dressed up as a witch, and now I'm going to enter them. And the devil is capable of sending a demon to enter and possess that person. And there is where your unhappiness and misery begins. The demon begins to work in you and takes away your peace and turns you away from God. That is what the devil does. And so that they're celebrating the dead. Oh, we have to prepare a special food because the dead, they need their special bread. Right? The special bread that they prepare and the tamales and the beverages and all of these different things. Oh, you must do it and make it to bring to the dead. And after you bring it to the dead, then let's eat. Right? And let's make special bread for the dead, and then I'll sell it, and I have to run and buy that bread. So what are we doing with all of that? We are partaking in those celebrations. We are participating in paganism and idolatry. Our spiritual life is defiled, contaminated, because God will say, you have no conviction. Who have you believed in? Why are you doing these things? Are you dying of hunger? Are you dying of hunger that you can't stand it, so you need to go and eat that special bread that was made to be sacrificed to someone who's dead or a demon? And so you're participating, you're accepting, you're saying that this is well done. God is going to say that. God is going to say, why don't you turn away from that? If you're not going to die because you don't eat that bread, you can eat bread on another occasion and any other kind of bread. It doesn't need to be that special bread that was made to be sacrificed to the dead or a demon or the devil because they celebrate the devil. and they celebrate the demons, and they celebrate the dead. If the dead, they have no part in this world anymore. They have died. They have no part in this world. And they don't even realize. They don't know what's being done. But people do know what they're doing, and so they are turning away from God because they are giving credibility to all of these different superstitions, beliefs, customs, and traditions, and all of that turns God away. And if you want to be successful in your spiritual life, turn away from all of that. Be very zealous of God's things, of God's word, because that is what God wants. He wants us to be that way. And let's read, for example, what Romans says to us in, although here in Hosea 3:1, if someone can quickly find. Brother, please read out loud if you found Hosea 3:1.
Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans.
They look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So the food, and in some places of the world, they make food, they make tamales, they have special food, special bread for the dead. Brothers and sisters, those in Central America, maybe someone can add something more. What else? What other kinds of special foods are made to dedicate to a religious celebration that you may have heard of? Which one? The purple corn drink? Which else? Atole? And all of that's for the dead, right?
Good evening, Sister Mary Louisa. May the Lord bless you. I'm from Guatemala. And in Guatemala, we would make a big salad for about 30 people.
Or for 30 dead.
Yes, and with all of the sausages, cheese, vegetables.
But it was all devoted to the dead?
We had to go and eat at the grave and to drink all day being at the grave with them.
Right.
And we had to pray a litany at night, that's what they would call it, so that the dead wouldn't come and pull our feet.
The dead didn't come, but the devil did.
And it happened to me twice where they pulled my feet for not doing it, but I was a little girl.
The devil deceiving you.
Yes,
and now... Deceiving you so that you would continue to believe in that.
But it was horrible because I couldn't sleep without doing it, so...
Very good. Well, that we call defiling our spiritual life. And it causes you to turn away from God. Over here...
Good evening, sister. Welcome to Margate. Thank you for your visit. Sister, I was born in Guyana. My family is from Guyana, and their ancestors are from India, and my grandmother. We realized how the devil tried covering up the true religion, because my grandmother would make raisin cakes, and she would make it with flour and added fruits to it, and she had her statues, which she said were her gods. One of them was a cow, another an elephant, a monkey, and as a little girl, I would see how she would offer those raisin cakes, and she would place fruits, pineapples, bananas, but she would never say that it was for the dead, but it was for her gods. And so I wanted to share that.
Well, in the first verse that we read, when God said, do not make any carved images, not even of animals, not even those that fly or creep, those that are in the sea, do not create any figures or images of gods saying they are gods. God forbid it. This is why we must read the Bible. We must read the Bible. Read the first books of Moses. There you find a lot of the basis and foundation of God's doctrine. And that still stands. It stands today so that we put all of these things to practice. Let us not defile ourselves. Let's not defile our spiritual life. Let us not offend God. We need to have conviction. Today, we have our families, because you have your family that doesn't come to church and they are following all these customs and traditions. They're practicing them and they might become upset because you're not going to eat. Or you're not going to spend time with them during that celebration. They're going to be upset with that. Let them be upset. Because who you need to keep happy is God. and not man, because you are going to win with God, whereas you're not going to win with your family or friends. Do not go along with their ideas, because if you do, God takes away blessings. God becomes angered and he says, well, you are a person without conviction. You haven't believed in my word. You don't believe in me. Therefore, I'm going to turn away from you and I won't bless you. That is what the Lord tells us. So we ought to learn and be careful and beware of these things. Now, we were saying that those who quickly have Daniel chapter 8, Daniel 1:8.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Good. So, you see, it says Daniel, he purposed when he was taken to Babylon. Now, Daniel had been taken to Babylon. He was an Israelite. He was taken to Babylon, a pagan, idolatrous country that did not believe or worship the God who created the heavens and earth. They were accustomed to their own gods and performing their sacrifices and special foods for their gods. And they would also eat unclean animals. And they would prepare food with seasoning of unclean animals. So Daniel did not want to defile himself. He said, I'd rather die of hunger than offend my God. And he said, only give me vegetables. Because vegetables practically are eaten raw, or they're boiled, and they are not defiled with seasoning of unclean animals' flesh, nor any other things. So he said, no, I'm not going to defile myself. I won't offend God, because Daniel knew the doctrine. Daniel knew God's commandments. He was a man who was fearful of God, and this is why he purposed in his heart not to defile himself, and so that occurred. We today, we can defile ourselves with all of these celebrations, all of these inventions people make up. For example, the 24th or 25th of December, there are so many people who celebrate, according to history, they would celebrate the birth of an idol, of a demon, of a god. And when Christianity arrived, they changed the name of that idol, of that god, they changed it into the baby Jesus, who was born on December 25th or 24th. So they did it for business, out of pure convenience. They changed the name of that. So people continue to carry out their celebration, because in paganism, on the 24th of December, they would celebrate that God. And when Christianity arrives, people said, well, what are we going to do? Everyone is celebrating and eating and drinking and doing so many things, and we're not. And so the businessmen and the merchants, those hypocrites who only cared about the material things, they made up and said, well, let's make up and say on the 24th of December, Jesus of Nazareth was born, and so we can continue to celebrate. And along the way, we celebrate the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, God doesn't need his birthday to be celebrated. God has been from the beginning. He had no beginning nor end. He doesn't need a birthday to be celebrated. He never said that you ought to celebrate his birthday. But what you do run into is idolatry if you do that, into paganism, into defiling your spiritual life, in which God turns away from people and is displeased with the people who practice these things. So let us be very careful with celebrating such holidays, because if we celebrate those holidays, then we are participating in the sins of others. We are participating in the idolatry of others. And God turns away from us, and the blessings become stagnant. Our blessings will remain stagnant if we have no conviction. And so let us flee. Let us please God. But you might say, well, what do I do about my family? I'm the only one who comes to church, and everyone else in my family, they don't. Well, that day, maybe you got sick. You're sick in bed, and there you are, and now people are coming to tend to you. They're giving you the attention now. And you can ask the Lord and say to him, Lord, I do not want to defile myself with the beliefs of others. And it's maybe not so much about the food, but it's the belief. They're celebrating an idol. That's idolatry. And so how can I defile myself? I need to flee. I can't be there. And I also have to teach my children that that is incorrect. But if the children maybe want presents and special food and maybe a special trip, well, you do it on a different day without celebrating any holiday. On another day, they will have a present or a trip or their food. But it shouldn't be the day that the devil is celebrating his thing so that we do not defile ourselves because God is displeased. And look at what Romans chapter 1 says. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, from verse 18. What was taught and what God revealed to the Apostle Paul? So the Lord revealed the following. Are you there? Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you see what happened? They knew God, but they did not glorify him as God. They did not give him thanks. They followed after idols and other customs and paganism and traditions and foods and drinks and religious celebrations, pagan celebrations. They became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So they created gods out of animals and of men and women, saying, this is your God, worship him. And offer sacrifices, prepare the raisin cakes, prepare the bread, prepare everything that people have made up, all the inventions. And so everyone celebrate and dance and get drunk. And here in verse 24, it says, therefore, because of all of this, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. So you see, brothers and sisters, the sin and the evil that we see today in the world is the consequence of disobedience to God. It is the consequence, for it says, therefore, because of all of this, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Please continue in verse 25. And so after our Lord Jesus Christ, paganism began with Christianity. And that is when such and such Christian church and very pagan and very idolatrous, and they carry out witchcraft and sorcery and unclean things, and they are so-called Christian. And this is true. It says here that they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature. So people who follow Saint Teresa, Saint John, please give me other saints' names. Saint Christopher, Saint Vivian, okay. And they worship them all, right? They worship them, they light candles for them, they place food and flowers. And it says, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to what? To vile passions. Please read. So that is implying that women became lesbians And it says, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. That is to say, homosexuality. And it says, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. So now you know why there are lesbians and homosexuals that exist. Why? Because of sin and evil and disobedience of man. They have forgotten God. They have turned away from God because they have followed after idolatry and different celebrations and customs of people and of everything that the devil has made up. And this is why God has delivered them over to those passions, so that they would do even worse things than what they were already doing. And in that way, God would have to charge them harshly and punish them severely. And that is sad. It is very sad. And we, let us give him thanks because we are getting to know his path. And that you should never turn away from the path of the Lord. You should love God. Devote yourself to God so that God should never need to say that because of the foolishness of some, God should then make you more foolish and make your heart harder and more rebelliousness so that you sin more and that God should have to punish you more. Let that not be the case, but rather that you be a true son and daughter of the Lord, modest and humble, that loves God. That loves God because you see here the consequences. And it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. And here he begins to list everything that man began to do because of disobedience. But we were saying that all of these celebrations, traditions, and customs of people, they can defile our spiritual life. So let's be very careful and turn away from that. Let us not defile ourselves, and that children should also learn this too. Any questions? Do we have some questions? Let us take some 15 more minutes for some questions.
Hello, sister. My question is, how may we read the Bible with more wisdom?
Okay. Well, maybe not saying with more wisdom, but maybe with more love and desire. With desire and saying, well, I'm going to read the Bible because I want to get to know God. I want to learn from God. I want to know a lot of things that God wants me to do so that I please him. And so that intention of your heart, that makes God be with you in that moment. When you're reading the Bible, he gives you that wisdom. Yes, over here.
Good evening, sister. Thank you for visiting us here in the church in Margate. You were speaking of today about idolatry, and this brought man to make great temples and pyramids to worship their gods, and also big cathedrals and different architecture that at this moment they are all considered. These things that were done in antiquity to worship, in this moment, they are tourist attractions. And I wanted to ask you a question. Since we are always visiting different countries because we want to learn about their cultures and see the tourist attractions, in a moment in which we may be in a tour or going to a certain place and visit these places, so can we go? Are we going to see this as a...
Well, it depends, sister. It depends. Now, if you go to a certain place and they force you to carry out a certain ritual, oh, well, you need to do this ritual. Well, no, I'm not going to do rituals. And so maybe people go to the Dead Sea and they start to lather themselves in mud because the mud of the Dead Sea is the most perfect thing for the skin, but that's a lie. It's just a lie. And people go to the Jordan River and they take bottles of water to fill up because they think that the Jordan water is better. But the Jordan water today is like any other water that we have around here. It's the same. It has no special essence. There's nothing amazing about it. It's all lies, and people let themselves be deceived because, oh, the Jordan River, you gotta go there. You have to bring the bottles, and they sell the water from the Jordan River and also the sand of the Dead Sea. But those are all customs and superstitions, and people make that up just for business. They are merchants and businessmen. That's what people become to try and con others, people who are unsuspecting. And so, if they're not going to demand that you carry out a ritual, and there are many places where all you do is really stare at the building. Well, you look at it, and that's it. And it depends, sister, really. It just depends. The sister over here.
Good evening, sister. May the Lord bless you. I am so joyful because about 2 days ago, my nephew, he's 13 years old, and he, before my sister...
But does he come to church with his mother?
They don't go to the same church, but they no longer are celebrating Halloween. And 2 days ago, he was speaking to me saying that he was very sad because he wanted to celebrate it one last time because he remembered when he dressed up as Iron Man when he was little. And so he was upset and he said, I want to go and I want to do this. So my question is, when you were speaking earlier, talking about if someone would dress up as a witch or... Is there a difference in what you are dressed as or the specific day?
It's the specific day. It has a lot to do
with
it.
So if he does it on a Saturday, but it's not on...
So that specific day, if you dress up as Tarzan or one of those superheroes, Batman, either way, it's that day. But, you know, the child, you can't demand or expect too much from him because you have to first observe that the parents are in church, they have conviction, they've converted to God. How can we then expect certain things from the child? If he wants to get dressed up, well, then let him get dressed up. And if anything, invite him to church and maybe one day he'll understand and he himself will then later on and reject that and say, I don't want to do this anymore. That's it.
Good evening, sister. A promise fulfilled. I want to ask you, I am from Guyana. My mother has many different religions. She is born in India, her parents as well. So, sister, my mother had a very big altar in my house because my mother lives with me. And after she learned that I became a Christian, she took down the altar, but now she has it in her closet, in her room. What must I do in this situation, sister?
When you realize that she does that, say, Lord, help her. Look at what she's doing. Change her. Teach her. Reveal your truth to her. Have mercy on her. Ask God to have mercy on her. And I think God will hear your prayers. Because if you have conviction of what you've learned and of what you have received here, well, then that conviction God will reward. And God will hear your petition and your prayer and will change her and will take that away.
Thank you, sister.
Very good. Over here.
Good evening, sister.
Yes, brother.
Thank you very much for coming. It is a pleasure to see you again. Sister, the question is as follows. We have a girl, a daughter, a promise of God fulfilled. How may we be able to guide her when the time comes?
How old is your daughter?
She will be 6 months old.
Oh, no. No, she doesn't understand things
yet. But when the moment arises, how may we do it?
Well, you teach her as she grows up, and since you'll be bringing her to church, she will learn here, and she will begin to understand.
And my second question, sister, if you, if you don't share those traditions, but we can say they purchase candy, and people knock on your door, and you give them out, is that, in doing so... Do you also...
Well, I'm going to share with you that in my home, I don't even open my door. I don't buy candy. And people knock on my door, and since no one opens, they leave. Yes. I don't do that. Yes, sister.
Good evening. Firstly, I want to say thanks for your teaching, for your wisdom, and for your dedication. My question is based off of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7, where it says, "The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot." This question is in regards to ancestors and the importance of remembering them, those who have done good. And what would be the right way to remember them? Because I see in certain passages how it's important to remember.
Well, remember
ancestors.
Who?
Like the memory as it speaks here.
So are you saying, for example, to remember our parents, our grandparents, those who've passed away? Is that
yes.
what you're saying?
The fathers or
because
grandfathers who have done good.
Because what you've read here
Proverbs 10:7.
Where it says the memory of the righteous is blessed. But that is not saying that it will be remembered, but only blessed. The memory of the righteous is blessed. But the name of the wicked, it says, will rot. So, meaning a person who did good in life is remembered. For example, we remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know them through the Bible. They are people who lived thousands of years back, and today we admire and we remember them with affection. We don't know them, but we just imagine them. That's what this means, that the memory of the righteous is blessed, but that of the wicked will rot, meaning that it will be buried in the ground. No one will remember them because they were so evil. That's
Thank you.
It. All right, brothers and sisters. Let us now rise and let us pray. And I hope that you have understood the teaching and that you've understood what today's teaching is for. And it's so that you teach and that you put to practice. You teach your own and you teach them that they should not turn away from God's blessings and that they should aim to turn away from those pagan celebrations, those religious celebrations, customs, and traditions that people have, that families have, and nations have, and to turn away from that because it defiles our spiritual life and it causes God not to bless us. And the teaching is so that you keep that in mind and that you teach your family and your friends. And if you want to progress, if you want to have blessings from God, then forget about all of that. Turn away from that because it's of no use to you. All it does is it keeps you away from the Lord. And so now let us pray to God so that the Lord may help us and that God may feel proud of us, proud that we keep his commandments because this is what God wants. God wanted the people of Israel to keep his commandments and the people of Israel did not do so. And we want to please God and we want to keep his commandments. Blessed is the name of our God. Holy Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, my blessed, almighty God, eternal God, creator of the heavens and earth. Holy Father, Father of Abraham, our Father of Isaac and Jacob, and you made marvelous promises to these beings, and that today those promises we are enjoying. And we are living your presence, Lord. We are living the power of your Holy Spirit in us and living your mighty hand that gives us peace and blessings, gives us joy and happiness, gives us gladness. And you protect us. You protect us from evil and dangers and the traps of the devil. You protect us from the envy of the devil. You protect us and keep us safe from witchcraft and sorcery. You deliver us. Oh Lord, thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of these blessings, for your mercy, for your love. Thank you for your holy word, for your promises, which are faithful and true. Thank you, my Father. Glorious is your name. We praise you, Lord. We give you the honor, the glory, all praise. Blessed and praised is your name. All praises are for you. All honor is for you. Blessed God, mighty God, Mighty God, mighty King, holy, righteous, merciful, and kind, slow to anger, and great in mercy. You are great, my Lord. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You, Lord, you created the heavens with your power, with your mercy, and you have us here before your presence, Lord, crying out for your mercy and giving you thanks for your mercy, your love, your power, for the support that you have granted us, for the promises that you have made us, and because you are fulfilling day after day all that you promised. Lord, help us to serve you. Lord, help us to praise and to glorify you. And help us to turn away from evil and teach us your doctrine, teach us your ways and your holy word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Blessed and praised is your name forever. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts and powerful you are. Thank you, Lord. Thanks be to the Almighty. Thank you, Holy Father. And in the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, amen. Glory to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, God bless you. Thank you very much. And until next time, thank you and God bless you.